Kevin, I think you were talking a little bit about some health issues, and there was something you wanted to say, and you were going to ask a question about at the end.
Yes.
That was kind of a two-part question. I went to an Ayurvedic doctor, which is a doctor of traditional Indian medicine, and he gave me lots of guidelines for diet and lifestyle and everything, which is good. But I noticed that some of the things, like for example, he told me not to have cold drinks, for example, because it's better for digestion, which is excellent. But then I realized that I was clinging a lot because I got some water, but the only water that available was cold. So I was gonna wait till it got warm. But I wanted to drink it, but I wanted to wait because it's supposed to be better. And then I had some like Akusala patients waiting for it. So, I kind of felt that sometimes we can cling to the bodily health
Every day,
every day.
almost every moment.
Through everything.
So the question is?
Well, I just wanted to ask what you felt about that,
I
you know.
see. Panya is not great enough to understand reality at that moment as just a reality because of many realities arising and falling away in split seconds, in flux. So how can there be the understanding of just one characteristic of a reality at a time? But by having the intellectual understanding enough to know that life is just like this, nothing left at all. It's only just a moment of experiencing a reality and then another one again and again and again. That's all. Even thinking about cold water or warm water, see, at that moment. So this is life, even right now, seeing right now, and hardness or sound or everything. All aloka, all aloka, one at a time, appearing. That's all, from life to life. So,
Why you say loka?
loka,
Yeah.
if there is nothing arising at all, is there anything? But whenever there is a reality or whatever arises, it's loka. That which arises falls away. That's the meaning of loka. And lokutra is not like this.
Can you say then that lopa would arise more than dosa?
Usually, what about today? Dosa more or lopa more?
Lopa.
Yeah. Because you see, at moment of seeing, it's impossible to know what follows. But when it's more and more like nimitta of that particular reality, then one can see that it's the nimitta of what kind of vijnana, what kind of cetasika, by arising and falling away until it can appear as something like image of that or sign of that. Like now, okay. Like now, see? So one can see by understanding the teachings about the wisdom of Buddha, how can he break up everything which seems like permanent all the time into just a reality conditioned to arise and pass away unknowingly all the time. But it appears as the world with many, many things, see? But what is behind it? Citta, cetasika, and rupa, only these. So it does mean that what we heard should be directly experienced right now. Impossible. Because only right understanding can understand whatever appears now. So it's the accumulation of right understanding, of learning, until it goes in the citta, so very, very strong enough to, at moment of talking about anything, right understanding is there. Not going away from that which is spoken or taught. All gone. See, sound, hearing, whisper object, seeing.
This reminds me of my daughter. I was trying to explain this to my daughter. And she was saying, I said, you know, with the conditions arise, then there can be conditions for, understanding to arise, or this to arise, or you can't force it, you can't do it through what you call meditation. And she said, Mom, you're using that as an excuse
excuse for not understanding.
Well, this is it. She thinks that understanding
because
arises.
Because what she talked like practice. See?
She what?
Practice.
Well, this is it. She thinks only with practice.
But what is it?
Well, this is it. And, you know, when I tried to explain to her that practice is the understanding of that everything works according to conditions, and then she thinks that's an excuse, that I'm using
excuse.
That as an excuse.
For what?
For
being
not
angry or
practicing.
Just for practicing. Because, and what about whatever appears now only appear in a moment? Moment of seeing, there's nothing at all, at
right.
all. Is she interested to understand this? Is this a point?
She thinks that thinking in terms of what
thinking.
Is appearing at the moment
yeah.
is just theoretical stuff that has no bearing on reality. And I tell her, no, honey, that is reality. As, you know, and it's. And I just realized I don't want to argue with her about it because she doesn't have the
accumulation. I think it's an argument at all. It just would like to understand what is said when she is said about the conditional conditions. See, like seeing is condition. Is she interested to understand better, or it doesn't matter at all to understand seeing right now? But
well,
at moment of seeing, there is nothing. To be understood, only that which appears right now. See, so her purpose of developing or going to practice or practicing, what's the point?
Yeah.
To know what? If it is now, then seeing now should be understood little by little until at this moment, right understanding is at the reality which experiences or that which appear, one characteristic at a time. Otherwise, no way to take or to eradicate the idea of self at all. It's so very subtle by asava, oka, and yoga. But we don't mind whether it is asava or oka or yoga, but why Buddha pointed out? He might point out just asava, only asava, that's not enough, see. So there must be meanings of teaching about everything that he taught.
But I think part of the point was a little bit like you discussed with Lucas in Poland about, you know, if one comes late to work or one gets angry and one just says, oh, conditioned dharmas, it can be I am anatta, it can be
that
making
ignorance.
It, that can be making excuse. So
yeah.
I think the
there's no understanding.
So if the
excuse.
Comment
yeah.
the comment was, oh, if one gets angry and the and says, oh, well, it's just conditioned dharmas, it's true, but it can also be, I think when she said it's making excuse, this is what she meant.
At that moment, it's ignorance and the idea of self who spoke.
Spoke,
not the understanding.
No. And if one says, well, it's just conditions, it can be, like you said to Lucas, that I am anatta, making excuse for the ignorance or
yeah.
the bad behavior.
Anyone can do anything because of being anatta.
Yes.
But I think
even
what you just said, making excuse for not understanding is a very good reminder.
Yeah.
It applies to all parties concerned.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Easy to make an excuse or to say, well, it's all conditioned dharmas, but it's And when you were talking earlier about, well, it's in regard to what he was saying about experiencing the cold or whatever, and it's all loka, worldly, not lokutra. And we also learn about the worlds through each of the sense doors at each moment. So is it the same meaning?
All the words in the Tipitaka conform, agreeable to any moment, any reality.
So the meaning of
loka
as mundane as opposed to supramundane just really refers to
whatever arises and falls away. Otherwise, there's nothing.
Whatever world appears.
Mm-hmm. One point I also wanted to make about the clinging to health and the body and everything, which I found interesting, was that I went to the doctor of Ayurveda because I want to be healthier, right? Mm-hmm. But what wound up happening was actually something that he gave me. I have a problem. It was this noni juice, which is popular, but it's so high in potassium that you have to take very little, so many milligrams, it says on the bottle. But she didn't exactly tell me the dosage right, and I couldn't read it correctly because it was Thai, and I took more than I was supposed to. I didn't know. But also, it comes from a fruit, so I didn't think it's a problem.
Thinking.
It's not like a medicine. Mm-hmm. There's so much potassium in it, I started feeling very sick. So I started to read, I read more about it, and I have a condition with my liver. So your liver can't process that much at a time. So it said anyone with liver disease or kidney problems shouldn't take it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I got sick for 2 days. I was feeling very ill. So what I came to reflect on was that even though, you know, I attempt to do something for my health, but it's all vipaka. What happened was I got sick instead. I go to a doctor and I wound up getting sick instead of getting healthier.
Yeah.
Because that was the vipaka that was going to arise, whether I went to the doctor or not to the doctor.
Yeah.
It's just conditioned.
Even considering about all these,
right.
What? Yoga.
Yoga. Okay. Yes.
Never let go you away from attachment. Always go with you.
Thank you, Anna.
Even more than yoga. Yoga.
Yoga.
Serious.
2 weeks ago, I forgot whether that was morning session or evening session at the foundation, yeah? I do not know his name. The oldest gentleman in that among
see.
The teachers.
Kunlipat.
Yeah, Kunlipat.
Okay.
And say that there are 10 dhammas related with so-called our body. That is cold and heat, and then pain, uchawa, pasawa, and then old age and death. And he said that we cannot escape from these 10 dhammas. It's the nature of our body, yeah. So because we have so much clinging to our body, yeah? Then these heat and cold and hunger and thirst, they all bother me, yeah? Because of our clinging to our body and our clinging
again,
to health.
All our yoga.
Yeah.
Unknowingly all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah. And then a couple of days ago, I wondered because I was having shower and then. I have to clean the drainage, yeah, because of the hair, yeah, stuck in the drainage, yeah, and I thought, this is dirty, but it's on my hair, I feel it's beautiful, but once it's out of my body, it's dirty, yeah. I was
so
just shocked.
That's like when you get one of those, you have one of those, what do they call it? They stick a camera up from the bottom and a camera down from the top, and they give you a DVD of this thing. And you look at that thing and you say, that's mine. You see how attached we are to this thing we call a body?
Yeah.
And yet when we look at the stuff on the inside of the body that you can get through one of those films, we think, oh gosh, that's not mine, but it is. mind.
More yoga.
More yoga.
More thinking of yoga.
But that's not the way to detachment, because it's still mind.
It's still my body and my precious.
Not only is it disgusting, but all the nam and rupa are alien.
Yeah. They look like alien things. We don't associate it. Yeah. It's all these conditions for thinking this body is nice, we like it, we do, and really it's a disgusting thing, you know. It's
like, I read some suttas that were translated into English, and they used the word alien. These things are alien to me, which alien really means from not, it like...
You're not familiar with
Not familiar. Yeah. Not familiar with it. You're not familiar with it. So, because it's anatta, it's not self, it's not, it's really not. That's disgusting too.
When, like before, when he was talking about the story about taking the medicine and it not leading to good health and so on, and you said it's just thinking with attachment of the degree of yoga. You the other day at the foundation, when you were talking about asavas, ogas and yogas, when it's of the degree of yoga, must there be some wrong view involved?
Or attachment to sensuous objects, like asava. Asava, oka, and yoga have the same.
But, okay, so it could be just kama asava, or it could be ditta asava, yes. So just different degrees, yes, with or without. And I think that Sukhin has a question about underlying wrong view. And
even in, while here, when we're talking Dhamma, it's not like there's understanding arising all the time. Yet when we are asked questions, we give the correct answers. So I was wondering whether, for example, as in the case of wrong understanding, sometimes it underlies our questions and answers, wrong understanding, but it does not show up.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, can it also be the reverse, that there's right understanding, but it's not really with panya?
Depending on panya, different degrees. For example, now we talk about asava, not the degree that anyone can experience it. And we talk about oka, the understanding of the danger of the accumulation of akusala. Even right now, see, it doesn't shake one from thinking about it more. And when it's yoga, one always forgot that in the day, oka, whatever one move or think or talk. So in order to see that how great panya has to be developed, otherwise it seems like there's enough understanding, but actually no understanding of all these asava, oka and yoga, as much as one can talk about, is nivarana, when it's so great enough to just arises more in a day on one object, and you say that it's nivarana. But what about the asava and oka and yoga? So panya begins to understand different degrees of akusala. While before studying, listening, no understanding about all these very, very slight degree of akusala.
I think that Sukhin's question, as I understand it, is that just as there can be ditti is an asava, which is so slight that one has no idea because it's not apparent and there's no understanding of it, and it can arise so quickly, but it's so slight, one has no idea. Can one say the same about samaditti, about panya, that it can be so slight, for example, when one may be talking about explaining something in Dhamma, but it's just so little understanding?
Like now. Yeah.
So it can be so slight in the same
because,
way.
Because another word to say is that when the asva arises, it's like sprinkle akusala in or on citta. So panya is like that, just like this, just sprinkle the panya.
And it's so kind of slight that it's not even apparent.
Yeah.
But actually we know because we're hearing, and even we're repeating what we don't really understand, but it's the right word, so it can be very little sprinkling.
Mm-hmm. And to understand that we have accumulated lots of akusla, it's good to know. Otherwise, we think that we have very much of kusala, see. But actually, panya has to work a lot in order to really understand more and more about akusala.
But panya doesn't mind.
No. Panya understand reality as it is. And this is the only way to eliminate attachment. Otherwise, attachment is attached to do something to gain panya, which is impossible, because the attachment cannot gain any panya at all. It's attached. It's behind. It hides, so no one can see it. And it hides very, very close to the citta, not far apart at all.
And usually we say that, well, we know that attachment arises more often in a day than anything else, as soon as there's seeing and hearing, and we appreciate it can be so slight, there's no understanding of it. And usually we say that, you know, ditti doesn't arise as much. Usually it's just an ordinary attachment. But actually now, considering dittasava, we realize that it can be so kind of slight that there's no idea at all about it. So actually no idea how much slight ditti is arising as soon as they're seeing and hearing can also be at this level very
because
common.
It's different from being attached to that which is seen. Even at that moment, no attachment to that which is seen, but ditti is there.
Yes.
But so I would say that particularly in the context of considering and thinking, discussing about Dhamma, not in day-to-day, you know,
activities. It can be there, even the very slight one, idea of, you know, something, just a, just seeing
it,
and something
it
very
It shows
slight.
Up when there is the idea of I, went to the doctor. See?
Yes.
So it can be much, much more subtle than that.
Yeah.
Most people don't realize how much akusala there is, just so much, until we understand more.
Mm-hmm. So panya, only panya can understand, the depth of akusala. So it's impossible for anyone who doesn't have such understanding to eradicate the idea of self. Impossible.
During this trip, I learned how important it is to see ditti as it is. But still, I do not sort of cannot grasp on the basic characteristic of ditti. I mean that very subtle ditti, which may arise even at the level of sense drawers. What is sort of a basic characteristic of ditti?
Panya can see the gross akusala in the beginning. Can it see the more subtle akusala when it is not developed? But when it's developed to the degree that it can have understanding of that particular one, then panya can understand anything which is there. But by the anatomist.
So can we say that whenever there's a notion of I'm watching, or I'm seeing, or I'm hearing, there must be some kind of some level of ditti?
I think that since there is such idea, we cannot escape from yoga. See, but when there's the understanding from hearing and considering, at that moment, we are sprinkling the panya into the citta, and panya can work when time comes, right conditions.
It's so subtle, that Ajahn, that I was reflecting, I was thinking about that when I first heard about Dhamma. But before I was able to really develop any right understanding, but I first started learning and hearing about the rebirth and nibbana and all the Buddhist teachings. I think my defilements increased because now I thought, instead of just one life, I started to have akusala for all these future lives and akusala, what if I don't develop wisdom? And my defilements, I think, got worse until I really heard more, or increased until I heard more Dhamma with understanding about Panya.
Yeah. Were they worse or just more awareness of the defilements?
Well, no, I think at first...
More awareness and it does get worse.
No, I don't think so.
I think I was
more...
I think when there was no understanding, but I heard of... First, when I did meditation and things like that, there's so much akusala, so much aversion to not gaining something or not making progress, and so much idea of self, that before that, there was more calm before that, I think. But my defilements increased because I thought, oh, I have to attain something. I have to do something now. You know, there's some goal that I have to attain or something like that.
I can remember when I did meditation, that before I had ever studied Dhamma, and I was doing meditation years and years ago, the same thing. There was a lot of akusala over it because, how come I can't reach that? How come I can't reach that? I knew that there was, I didn't know what was wrong, but I just knew that there was a lot of frustration over the meditation. But it was only when I learned Dhamma that I realized what was going on. So it wasn't that the defilements themselves were increasing. It was more understanding what was going on rather than an increase of the defilements.
Let's let Ajahn make a comment.
Mm-hmm. When it's not Panya, no idea about reality at that moment, only avicca and take it for I. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Same.
I'd like to say yoga and yoga and yoga. Mm-hmm.
And why, for example, in this example where it's obviously, you know, very strong kind of attachment, or in one or two of the examples at the discussion on Saturday when there was strange ideas about karma and all taking it for self, why would you say yoga and yoga, not nivarana?
Because whenever there is yoga and no understanding, how to get away from yoga?
Mm.
By thinking just about karma and so forth without understanding at all.
But I think you were suggesting before that when it's really gross akusala, then we talk about the nivaranas because they are more apparent. But
no panya at all to know, to understand.
Mm. So you could say it's yoga and yoga being yoked to, again and again in samsara, but also one could say it's strong nivaranas that can be known at that time.
Strong nivarana.
Nivaranas.
Strong nivarana.
Nivarana.
Strong nivarana.
He's strong already. Yeah. Already. Sorry, strong. Okay, just nivaranas at that time.
Some people might think about nibbana when it's nivarana.
Yeah. Right. Did you have something about Mitya Ditti to raise?
Can I ask a bit about oka and nivarana? Why do you mention oka, yoka, and then also nivarana?
Because most people can understand nivarana.
Can understand.
But what about asava and oka and yoka? It has to be the satipanya rather than just knowing about nivarana.
But it's not like more yoga, more oka, and then conditions more nibbana.
Different moments. By having more and more oka and yoga and asava, then it conditioned moment of nibbana.
That's what, okay.
So what you're saying is it doesn't take much panya to know about nivarana because it's so apparent in a day, like if you're very angry with your daughter or something, it's very apparent. But for ogre and yoga, never mind about asava now. It's the panya has to be more refined.
Right.
Like in the example, I went to the doctor and he told me this about it's more subtle, it's not as obvious as...
And this is helpful when right understanding is there and it is aware of reality, to see and to understand where is the yoga. Mm. Otherwise, it's moved by yoga again. Mm. So when it's tied up by whatever chain and everything, so very tightly, in a room, shut, not only in a room, even the fence door is closed. How can you get out?
In other words, if there's so much nibbana, then how much more okha and
right,
yoga there is.
Right,
mm-hmm. Tying up all day whenever one has a story about this or that. And
so panya can see more and more subtle akusla, because it's the way to eradicate the anusaya, kilesa. Never arise at all. Otherwise, it's just like cutting the branch and then it grow again. But the root is there, very deeply rooted. And by this way, one can see the wisdom of the Buddha and the worth of his teaching.
And lack of wisdom on our part.
Mm-hmm. Even what we are talking now, what if he didn't teach? No one knows at all. And some may recite the anusati, puttanusati. But now it's more than puttanusati, because we realize that without his enlightenment, no one can hear about whatever appears now at all. So just develop understanding, leave everything to panya, but the self try to be panya or to do the function of panya until there is more developed understanding.
Only panya can perform the function of panya.
Right.
Nothing else can do that.
And when it talks, for example, in the suttas about two kinds of understanding, with and without the asavas, it means that because the asavas are the slightest arising of the kilesa, that until even the asavas are eradicated, the anusyas cannot be eradicated completely.
So because anusya does not arise,
no,
so people cannot see it.
Cannot be known.
Mm-hmm.
So until the asavas...
So Buddha thought about asava. And without anusya, there will never be
asava. And until even the slightest asava is seen and known, anusya cannot be
because
eradicated.
Because the anusya is eradicated, so there is
no more
asava of that particular reality.
Related with ditya, I'd like to ask about mana. Mana and ditya are totally different things?
Yes.
Oh.
Hard to know. Both of them. Because you see that ditya can be eradicated by sotapatimaka, but mana has to be eradicated by arahatamaka.
Oh. Yeah. Even an anagami still has mana. No wrong view of self at all.
So, what are the sort of, what is the disadvantage of having mana? It may not be a good question, but what are dangers of having mana?
As long as there is clinging to being, and mana is there.
It's still finding oneself important.
Oh, yeah, important. Is there any opposite characteristic or quality of mana?
Humble.
Humble.
Many words in Thai, but I don't know the words in English. You know?
Could you say the words in Thai?
Humble?
Yeah. So, it's interesting because I'm learning. So you said there's some Thai.
Or, I don't know, in the English word for...
Any Pali...
Even Soratja, see, it's translated in Thai, but it's not clear.
It's not clear.
Yeah. Modest, moderation, I don't know, not yet.
Modesty.
Yeah.
What would be the main cheetah seekers involved in modesty?
Atlobha, Atosa,
Atlobha,
all the universal Sopana cheetah seeker.
Actually, modesty is something different from being modest, isn't it? Because modesty has a connotation of moral.
Yoga again.
Yeah.
Chan, can you say something about akusla? Why akusla is bad and... Like, I mean, following from what Tada was asking about mana.
As long as there is mana, this kilesa is there. Even it's not didi.
Kusala is like abrasive, no? Like rough. Is that right?
Why does one have mana? See? Conceit of what? Reality arising and falling away.
We could say the opposite is the example of Sariputta's, the dust cloth that anyone can walk on. That is the opposite quality of not minding how one is spoken to or how one is treated or what is said about one. Not finding oneself important or precious.
It's not humiliate.
Not a good word in English.
No,
but earlier, Ajahn, you
modest
mentioned
or
clinging to becoming as being, I think you said, mana's not eradicated as long as there's clinging to becoming. So is there a connection there?
So it shows that there is still ignorance. Otherwise, there is no clinging, even to becoming.
So any instance of clinging to becoming is with mana? Or
clinging is clinging.
Yes, clinging is
and
clinging.
And then there is mana of such moment of becoming.
Okay, different moments?
Even at the same time, because mana has to arise with lobha.
Right.
And
so we differentiate between clinging to sensuous objects?
Sometimes there is just lobha with a mana, see? And when mana arises, mana appears. When mana does not arise, lopa appears.
Right. So my question is, there's lopa. Lopa for sensuous object?
It's eradicated by anagami.
Anagami. And then there's for becoming. Now this becoming is not for sensuous object.
No. Rupa Brahma, Arupa Brahma.
Right. And that's not necessarily with mana.
It can be.
Not all the time.
Not all the time. Okay.
Still very subtle, finding oneself important.
Mm-hmm.
Even though no wrong view.
Rupa and Arupa, it's not finding oneself important, it's just attachment, pure attachment.
So with or without mind?
With or without, yeah.
Now we see yoga cannot move.
booth.
Yeah. Just be there with all these bindings.
You mean when thinking about it?
No, right now, anywhere, when panya is not... There, yeah, when panya is not great enough. Mm.
This is not really in the context of Dhammaya, but whenever I experience strong manaya, I treat it as my lack of self-confidence. If there is a real confidence in myself, why do I have to have manaya?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's how I generally treat mana mm-hmm. As such, but it's out of the, mm-hmm. not really in the Dhamma mm-hmm. sense.
Maybe confidence would be satta, and satta for kusala, satta for understanding.
It still comes down to lack of understanding, doesn't it? You know, still it's finding oneself important and worrying that, you know, maybe people won't like this or that, or what we call lack of confidence. So it still comes down to mana at that time. What will, how will people find it? Will they like my lecture? Or so it's this lack of understanding of reality, just clinging to me.
Very strong.
Clinging to each reality, which is passed from moment to moment, unknown, or is unknown. So where is Panya? Yeah, but one knows when it arises.
It's not enough just clinging to reality, it's clinging to concepts.
Or can be known when panya develops. Otherwise, no way to eradicate the idea of self.
That's asava.
Mm-hmm.
Clinging, always arising. And yoga.
And
yoga.
Oka and
yoga. Oka and yoga. Yeah. See?
Like this morning, Sukhin and I were talking about, he thinks, he's a little disorganized or very disorganized and a bit messy, and thinks maybe partly because he has a problem with attention or something like this, but I think it's also just another story about me at that time and being this way or that way. And
but I wonder if you go and see my house, you'll have a story yourself about me. You'll also have a story about me.
Can one, yes. I think before, actually, you've made, but I remember once you made a comment to Robert, who said at the time he was also very messy about how when there's more understanding, then it can lead to things being a little cleaner or tidier or something like this, because otherwise it may also be an excuse. Oh, well, this is just how I am. I'm messy and disorganized.
That's why now we begin to talk about yoga.
Mm. Could you say a little more?
Panya knows.
Panya knows.
Just one reality.
Mm. When it's there, when it's...
Yeah, even the word panya knows, one reality.
Yes, Brother Chan, an excuse not to understand, that's a very good reminder. These stories are often an excuse not to understand.
To put, like she's saying on Saturday, about delaying again, putting off again.
By avicca, an attachment, not by anyone at all. When there is awareness, there can be the understanding of the world. Just right then, a world. But when we think about something we think it's important, the world is going away, gone all the
That's
time.
That's the ocean of concepts.
Yeah. Unknowingly. That's why just
that's
one
why it's a yoke.
Characteristic at a time. When Panya or Sanya remember this, it can be conditioned for right awareness by anatta-ness. And the point is understanding all dharmas are anatta. No matter in this life or next life, because when one passed away from this life, what keeps on going? Citta and cetasika arising and falling away. And that which has been accumulated is there. To be continued like this life.
Yeah, all different moments, but I noticed that whenever there's a kusala all the time, but I noticed that whenever if I particularly mad about something or a kusala, I'm always involved in some story about something in life, just lost in that ocean concepts, not remembering the moment.
And no one can do or can change the way life is. But Panya begins to understand a reality. So the beginning of understanding the reality, not just learn about the words, is the moment of when sammasati arises. We don't have to call that moment sammasati, but the reality, a reality, just one, appear quite different from before because of the developed moment of intellectual understanding is enough to condition such moment for Panya to go on understanding further and further. And when it's Panya, it is detached from wanting or clinging to know because it's known a little when that object appears. So we can see the subtle path, so very subtle.
Talking about sati in the van yesterday, I just remembered we had a little discussion about concentration and sati, and Tadao made a comment that he thought that when sati arises, concentration must be very strong.
Depending, because now concentration does not appear. But when it's vipassana jnana together.
No, my point was that concentration which accompanies real satya and panya must be very strong in the sense that it arose because of its own condition. It's not like induced, self-induced concentration, which
natural
is not
concentration.
It's not true concentration at all.
So, many wholesome reality to not just concentration. So, what appears clearly, clearer than before, that's all. And there are many cetasikas. And why sati? See, sati is the chief at that moment because otherwise it is usual, the same as before. But when it's not as usual, it's because of sati. And that is the patthana, object of sati and panya of that level.
But unless it's sati and panya of the degree of vipassana jnana, then I don't think that the concentration has to be particularly strong.
One does not have to set it concentration, an object appears clearly, one can see that
it's there.
Yeah, because even right now, concentration does not appear.
No.
But at that moment, it's different.
No,
So it's not a question of strength of concentration. It's a question of, so it's not so much the question of strength of concentration, but just that at that moment it appears.
Right.
And not sati or any other dhamma appears, just the concentration appears.
But the experiencing can experience such one characteristic, just one at a time. It indicates that it's not the same, usual, or daily citta.
But then you're talking about, like when concentration appears, you're talking about a degree of vipassana jnana, not now, because now if concentration appears, it's akusala concentration.
And we can see why it's more than before. Because how can just one characteristic appear without concentration at that moment? So sati and concentration and panya appears as not usual.
Okay, so that time it shows also the
Clearness of the reality as object.
The important function of concentration at that moment also.
At vipassana jnana level. Because it's only then that it shows up or is apparent. Yeah. But before that we don't have to, we don't say that
fully
it's strong or
at that moment the reality is known. Would that be correct to say? Vipassana jnana, when it's satipatthana, it's nimitta, but at that moment of vipassana jnana where the concentration is strong and the reality is the object, would that be nimitta also? Or
all nimitta. Not one. See?
It's not one. Okay.
How tiny it is, just one.
Yeah, it's not enough.
If there is no other question, I have a question. Before coming here, when I was talking, I was listening to your talk. You were talking about Tina Mitta. Tina and Mitta. What is
sloth and torpor?
And then
sloth and torpor.
I used to before somehow you are talking about these realities or chetasikas. I used to think that these qualities are all rupas because I have very bad sleeping habit. And daytime, I do not feel, most of the time, I do not feel well. And I feel very draggy and then not energetic, And I thought that these rupas, which be associated with my physical conditions. Then you are talking in your talk that tinamidas are chetasikas. So probably what I'm experiencing is problem with rupas, problem with namas, not with rupas. Could you just clarify the nature of tinamitta?
Can rupa feel?
But I'm always heavy, you know, my body is so
probably, Achan, is that impression because there, for example, when we eat a lot and we feel sleepy, that's because the rupa that somehow conditions the tinamida. So that's what the
impression. Can be conditioned. But such feeling is not rupa. Don't blame it.
Okay. So, in that, one has to be clear about what are rupas and what are namas, which are taking place at when at the time when you
just
want
like
to
now, it's not clear whether it's only visible object. Because as soon as they're seeing, many things appear, not just visible object.
So at the same time, know what is thinking and what is understanding.
Why it's mixing everything up, mixing together, not knowing, having a notion that it's I who is experiencing all these unpleasant
things.
So it means that it's important to be mindful even when one doesn't feel well.
To understand. To understand. Otherwise, one tries to have mindfulness.
Yeah. Or rather that mindfulness, understanding can arise to understand any reality at any time.
No expectation.
Doesn't matter when.
Right. No expectation at all. Time, place, object.
And if we have expectation and we believe that only certain time, place and object, then there's not going to be any understanding. Because that's the wrong understanding and that's an obstacle to development of right understanding.
Tadao asked a useful question about the characteristic of wrong view. Mm. As I understand it, the characteristic of wrong view is that it thinks it's right. Mm. So that makes it very difficult to be able to be understood. But it has to involve a view, right, Ajahn?
Not necessary to be in words.
Not necessarily in words, right. But it is a view about the reality, the way things are.
The moment of clinging to the idea of self, me, I, there, even no words at all.
As far as I understand, it's a very subtle notion of self. Self is doing such and such things, knowing that it's everything is reality, which is taking place by itself.
So not all moments of self-view is with wrong view.
That is speculation. No need to think about it when it does not appear. Otherwise, yoga is there.
Yeah, I don't think it's just thinking. You're not seeing real, so you're not seeing ditti as ditti. You're thinking about ditti.
We sometimes say that all kinds of self-view or wrong view has to be when taking reality for something or belong to self or something like this. But when we read about wrong views, which Tadao was mentioning yesterday, such as there's no karma or something like this, how is this about reality that is taken for something at that moment?
At that very moment.
Like one's just speculating, okay. I don't really believe in karma, but what is the... So what
at
is
that
the
very
reality?
Moment, who says?
Just, the idea of someone who says, but it's not actually thinking about a reality as something, but it's still the idea of
more
me
subtle.
That's more subtle. Yeah. Says.
So when we say that I believe in karma, so who says to that time?
I believe in karma?
Yeah.
It depends on is kusala citta or akusala citta. Mm-hmm. So no speculation.
No speculation. Yeah. Right. Yoga again.
Right. Yeah. Good to know another level of akusala.
But if we say, for example, there's no karma, it's of course it's self who thinks like that, but in terms of those kinds of 20 sakaya ditti or whatever, it's not like the something belonging to self, is it? Or the view is belonging
because
to self?
Because you see that... no matter what one is saying, is there any understanding of a reality right there?
No, not at that time. No.
So instead of talking about the 20 kinds of sakaya, what's now? That's important.
But when there is the understanding of the anattaness, that is not oka, yoka, because understanding is there.
When we talk about wrong view as being a wrong idea of self, we can also talk about wrong view as being a wrong idea of the way things are, can we not? Because isn't it said that all kinds of wrong idea are either about annihilationism or eternalism or something? So there's different ways of defining, if you like, wrong view.
Because there's such thinking.
Yeah.
It's always thinking about me continuing or not continuing. Or
So if we say there's no result of deeds, for example, just because we are not mentioning my idea or a person, it is still in some way an idea about.
So there must be the understanding of that moment as kusla or akusla. See, but no one can understand reality as kusla or akusla without the understanding of that reality. For example, now, who knows which moment is akusla and which moment is kusla? After seeing, it's akusla, but at moment of understanding, it's kusla. So who can see the demarcation of these until there's some idea or understanding of Dhamma, as now, not the word Dhamma, but our reality is there, to be known, to be studied. Otherwise, we just keep on talking about Dhamma, but in terms of now, what is there? No need to say that it's a Dhamma, because of its characteristic. So, as there is no certain understanding of reality as Dhamma, how can you pinpoint which moment is kusla and which moment is akusla? So there must be the understanding of whatever appear as a reality.
On the other hand, those who develop samatha and who haven't heard the Dhamma.
You mean today's or in the Buddha's
time? In the Buddha's days. Mm-hmm. They know the difference between
certainly
kusla and akusla.
Yeah.
But they don't know as Dhamma.
So panya at that moment is greater than daily panya. Because before there can be the jhana, there must be the kusla, many, many moments, more and more understanding of what is right and what is not right. It's a level of panya, but no understanding about reality at all.
Because of panya.
Mm-hmm.
So the kusla-ness and akusla-ness of a reality can appear, even
true.
If not as Dhamma, as not Dhamma.
Mm-hmm.
So even in as Buddhist Dhamma students, there can be such understanding too.
Many, many people gained the jhana and superpower too.
Kusala accumulation, but even not understanding as a Dhamma, not understanding with Vipassana, but the Kusala accumulation was there for to understand.
Anywhere in the world, Brahma Loka, Aruba Brahma.
Kusala arising. But still, same, still samsara without true without understanding. Without understanding anatta, it's, you know, without developing satipatthana, it's still just
It would be no understanding of the nature of the of,
no
of samsara.
Yeah. Still leading to rebirth.
I have a small question related with what you've said. When we read suttas, often there was come to listen to his talk, Buddha's talk, and is there any sort of records of some of the devas become enlightened, or devas are not entitled to become enlightened?
Why not?
Why shouldn't they?
I don't know. I've never read the...
Like now, some can become enlightened while the others cannot.
So even devas can become okay.
Or else why would the Buddha go to the, to Sita heaven or whatever, to teach his mother, about Abhidhamma? If he didn't think...
Right?
Yeah.
Many devas.
The sutras talk about very large...
Teaching many devas.
See, large numbers of devas became... Mm.
The Buddha is not the teacher of only the human plane, but all planes. Mm.
Did you finish your question about Tina and
Mida
before the break?
I did.
No, Tina, now.
Not now. I'm fine.
Wait until after lunch.
I feel awful. Day in, day out. I feel awful.
to give us a brief summary of what...
No, it has to do with my brief... bad sleep.
Not of your...
Oh, it's... okay, the point is that when somebody or I myself think that I'm suffering from sort of all these sort of unpleasant things, yeah? And then I think if one thinks that it's somehow a physical conditions, the main factors are physical, but what Konstantin is saying that no, it's both physical and mental, and mixing all these things up together, we think that I'm not feeling well. But when we have that kind of feeling, we should be more aware and become more mindful and see each moment as it is, and whether one is sort of having a nama phenomenon or rupa phenomenon. Yeah, so don't mix things together and don't have an idea that one is suffering from unpleasant things. I think that's the point.
But that can also be true. I mean, that could also be a statement of truth when you say, I'm not feeling well, so long as you know that what it means, you know. It's not like the body is healthy all the time. There is sickness. That's a reality.
The thinking with dosa, which makes it so much worse.
So there can be yoga in between right understanding.
A lot.
Very often.
Good to know. Right, many people just neglect to understand yoga or aswa or oka, see? Or they think that it's enough to understand aswa. No need to talk about oka and yoga, but actually it's very daily.
Well, I think that usually, like most Buddhists think that they are the same because they are the same chetasikas, so they don't understand any distinction between asavas, ogas, and yogas. They think they're just different words or stressing different aspects, but they don't understand that there are
reality
degrees
right now.
About the reality.
Performing different functions, would that be correct?
It doesn't matter, leave them.
Bringing out different
otherwise
aspects like the fermentation or the floods, but they think that they are referring to just the
same
kalesa. Well, they are the same realities, but different degrees and different aspects are stressed. One time when I was in India, Tadal, I was quite ill at the time and I hadn't slept all night. I'd sat up all night and I had a bad cough, and in the morning everyone was very, very sympathetic.
Mm.
And Ajahn said, oh, how are you? And I said, oh, actually I'm very sick. I didn't sleep all night and I've got a bad cough.
Oh.
And she said, it's gone. What about now?
Yeah, otherwise it keeps
on
long story.
Yeah, about poor me and oh, I'm going to feel ill today I won't have any energy for Dharma because I didn't sleep. But it's just all a long, long story instead of, you know, it's all gone completely. And it was so much more helpful than all the kind of kind friends who are being sympathetic and giving me pills and medicines. It's gone. End of story. Most helpful. Yeah.
The best medicine.
Yeah, just a reminder about reality now. Cold, quick cold shower.
No, best medicine for everything.
Yeah.
When we are suffering from things or having anger or whatever, that is best medicine.
Otherwise, even though it's something unpleasant, like feeling sick or being angry or something, it's still clinging. It's still yoga and yoga, clinging to the story, clinging to me, clinging to what happened, clinging to what I said or what my daughter said. Or
Tied up.
In
a room.
Shut. Yeah. No way out. No.
Yeah.
Stuck in, lost in ones. Thinking.
Yeah, no way out. It's a good word.
somewhere, little.
Is there conditions for ubeka to arise to all, you know, all these different things that hit us all the time throughout every day, every nanosecond of the day, the things that are the realities that are hitting us, well, I don't want to use the word hitting, but realities that are arising for us every single day. Is there ubeka arising? And it's very rare. And I guess the object of the training is to have for more and more ubeka to be arising. And like, for instance, like you mentioned my daughter, you know, at the time I can remember that when she said that, I said, I felt so sorry for her. I said, oh my gosh, she doesn't understand. She doesn't, you know, and then I realized, okay, she doesn't have the, you know, the accumulations to understand. That's it. I can't be upset over it and be worried about it because it depends on her accumulations. At one point she might understand, at one point she might want to learn, like my brother-in-law, suddenly he wants to learn. So, you know, depends.
There can also be a lot of clinging to being the one who has more upeka and less dosa, so that can be another yoga.
Right, it can. If one is constantly trying to measure,
or
because one is thinking
trying
in terms
to
of,
have
well, upeka. I had upeka yesterday, but did I have it how many times today?
Still, or me and my upeka.
and given the oka and yoka.
Yes.
Any upeka would probably have been just one
exactly.
moment. That's gone.
And upeka without panya is akusala.
Upeka without
panya
is akusala.
Right. Write it down.
But what about, you know, because we're talking about tatramo jatata chetasika, what about moments of sila and dana without panya then can be...
At the moment that I would be, should be,
yeah,
upeka.
Then it's
not kusala, it's not right understanding.
Still, yeah. Mm. And actually, sorry to land you in this, Tada, you made a comment on Saturday at the end when you were talking to Paul, and you said that apart from Ajahn, we're all trying to experience these realities as much as we can in this life, but it's a bit like the trying to have upeka or trying to be aware of realities. Again, it's just
it's a person,
it's
trying.
more yoga, more
trying to be a practitioner,
yeah. Trying to be the right practitioner, yeah, because yeah. I thought you said, oh, we're all trying, and I, oh well, really, all. And we talked a little bit in the van about this is something that very easily leads into lots of yoga and yogas. We're talking about the comment Tadao had made about, well, when one's not in the Buddhist country, like in Australia, and then not so much understanding or awareness, and in Buddhist country,
even
there are
in
more
Thailand.
Opportunities. Yeah. But,
no excuse.
Yeah. This is what we said, yeah. Mm-hmm. Opportunities for yoga,
yeah.
Wherever one is. And yet, you know, we, like Kevin said, well, yes, but in New York, you know, it seems difficult. And when he comes here, okay, it's useful because opportunities to hear the Dharma. So opportunities to hear, but if one has the idea in other places that it's no wise association or not so many opportunities, it is excuse again, forgetting about present moment.
Yeah. And pure excuse.
Yeah.
I mean, where do you think it is the most counterfeit Dhamma than Buddhist countries? If you come to Buddhist countries, you hear the wrong that seems like right.
Yeah.
You know.
No. When I at home, when I listen to Konstantin's talks on the net, then I always think, oh, I have to go to Thailand. When I come here, it's the same. I'm always with my defiance and with my ignorance.
But when one does think like that, oh, this is a non-Buddhist country and the other place, you know, it's kind of forgetting about conditioned realities, isn't it, at those times?
Well, what's the Buddha's message? Understanding conditioned realities is now. No self, no being, no...
And alone.
Alone.
But at least in Japan, I won't have this kind of opportunity. Mm-hmm. Though it's just reality, but still.
Mm-hmm. Food for Panya. Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about, we were talking about living alone last night, and I know it's just ordinary conversation, but yes, sometimes we forget about how it's always alone, even now, alone with each citta, alone without self at each moment.
So you're alone with your ideas of aloneness.
Yeah.
So even with your loved ones or friends.
Always alone, yeah. You think, oh, it might be nice to have the company, but actually always alone.
Yeah, what's meant by being alone, then?
Just the Dhamma that's arising.
To understand our reality at that moment as no one, not self.
Because I think when we say, I am alone, or we're being alone, it implies that there is something being alone.
Concepts.
When it's just concept.
Forgetting about one loka at a time.
Yeah.
I have a question about asubha, foulness, as opposed to subha, beauty, because we know that all dharmas, all conditioned realities are inherently asubha because they arise and fall away and are unsatisfactory. So after seeing this clinging to the shape and form, and it seems like something beautiful because there's the idea of something lasting, but actually it doesn't last. It's really asubha. Why in the suttas are the references to asubha always just referring to rupas? Namas are never referred to as being asubha.
Does it appear as super? No.
I see. So it's the rupas that appear as subha most of
but
the time.
But not the nama.
But not the nama. Yeah. So the namas are not taken for being subha, but the visible objects and sounds are taken for subha, but actually
sensuous objects.
Sensuous objects. Mm. But in fact,
because usually only a sensuous object can be object of
commonly
the five doors.
Commonly experienced and taken.
And cling to it.
Cling to it, yeah. So one doesn't cling to sanya as being subha. But actually all conditioned realities are a subha, but this is why this
in that sense.
In that sense.
Many suttas, the Buddha does say that all conditioned dhammas are like a arrow, like a foe, a murderer.
Yes.
So in that sense, it's...
They're all referred to, yes.
And what kind of citta is asupa? See, it depends on what aspect we're talking about. When we talk about citta, all akuslas are asupa.
Mm.
But in the absolute sense, all cittas,
all conditioned realities are.
So what does it mean for citta, a kusla citta, to be asubha?
So asubha?
So ugly.
with a kusla cittasikas.
No, when it's not a kusla, how is it asubha?
Yeah, because of a kusla cittasika.
Mm-hmm. No, but even when it's even when it's not a kusla, even kusla citta is in the ultimate sense.
In there.
Asubha, because it arises and falls away, and it's not that which falls away. It can't be beautiful, just like it can't be satisfactory in any sense.
That's why not just only the sensuous object, which are rupas, are asubha, also the kama vajra citta, which clings to it, has to be eradicated by anagami.
Yeah.
So there's nibbana asubha?
Nibbana is not conditioned reality.
So is it subha?
Just one word?
Yes. I mean, why does it even apply?
If it's not conditioned,
what is subha? Subha and asubha.
In the absolute sense?
Yes.
That which does not arise, how can you specify it?
Can you say it's sukha?
it's impossible for it to be an object of clinging anyway. So it doesn't.
What about?
I think that we just want to understand the word. Yes. Instead of think, yeah, what for? You are adding more orca.
And what about locutere cheetahs like Maga and Pala cheetahs? We know that they are not referred to as being, they're not objects of clinging. So, and in, when we're talking about the Four Noble Truths, they're not classified under dukkha in that sense, even though they are actually impermanent and inherently unsatisfactory. But can we say they are?
In the absolute sense, yes, it arises and falls away.
Well, so it's dukkha. And in that
but
sense,
since it experiences nibbana, so it's different from other citta.
Yeah. And can one say in the ultimate sense it's also a subha?
Again, when we talk about any citta, it has to be a subha.
A subha, yes.
Just want to know. Or the truth is that.
Mm. It's the truth. It's.
So now the question is, we talk about the three general characteristics. Why is not the four general characteristics then?
What else?
Anicca, dukkhang, and anatta. Why isn't asubha included?
If you'd like to add, it's okay.
So like we when we talk about the vipalasas. Included,
yeah.
Taking the impermanent for permanent, the not self for self, the foul for beautiful, and the unsatisfactory for satisfactory. So it isn't.
Isn't it included?
Asubha.
In the sense.
In that sense.
Yeah.
But we have to put it in that context. But otherwise, we don't talk in general about.
But we can know that the characteristic of impermanency must be asubha.
That's what I was thinking. The three already cover everything. And why the fourth?
Because it's covered by the three. No need to differentiate more. That's enough. But for vipalasa, it's necessary.
Okay.
The details.
Maybe it also brings out another aspect, because like Ajahn said, we take the rupa's experience through the senses for being beautiful so much.
So
it's but it's showing that, but it's showing that actually what is taken for beautiful is not beautiful. Mm-hmm. That, and in fact, if we go deeper, all conditioned realities are foul in that sense. So it's.
Then what is the difference between vipalasa and asubha?
Asubha taking there are. It is one kind of vipalasa, taking what is foul for beautiful.
You know, if you ask me, I would say they are asubha because they are anicca, dukkha, anatta.
Depends on the one who experiences it too. At moment of experiencing anicca, dukkha, anatta, does one have the idea of asubha or not yet? But the characteristic is never changed.
Mm. And even the one who no longer has any wrong view about impermanence, the sotapanna, but still what is asubha is taken for subha, only anagami has eradicated it. So it can be without wrong view.
Can we say that the three characteristics are common to all conditioned reality, but it depends on citta at that moment to understand it by way of anicca, dukkha, anatta, but not by way of asubha yet, until Sakatagami begins or have the idea of, oh, it's also asubha, not just only. Anicca.
But that's why you said earlier that it's in relation to sensuous objects.
And even citta, kama vachara citta. which clings to sensuous object.
Okay. So it starts with sensuous object, then the understanding about other realities, even non-sensuous objects, and the citta itself.
It includes the karma vajra citta, and the sensuous object are sensuous.
Oh, yes, sensuous, right.
Mm-hmm. And this is why it's only the anagami who has no more clinging to sensuous objects who can, who has eradicated completely the idea of taking what is asupa for supa.
Understand the aspect of asupa better than
the satyagami.
Yeah.
In suttas, often we have such phrases as appamado amata padam, pamado machino padam. So, like mindfulness, it's like deathlessness. Yeah, and forgetfulness, it's like a living in the realm of death. Yeah, why does the Buddha say that being mindfulness is like a deathlessness?
Like a what?
Deathlessness.
Deathlessness.
Yeah, being mindfulness is the same as living. He doesn't say
it will lead to no more birth.
Because it leads to.
Sometimes I've seen that translated as mindfulness is the path to deathlessness.
Or heedfulness.
Or heedfulness is the path.
Because
to
it leads to.
But in a way, you know that sutta about someone carrying a picture on the head and walking and ready to strike. You know, a swordsman ready to strike at the back from the neck, cut off the neck. So when there's no mindfulness, and if the water spills, then your head is chopped off.
And it's now.
But that's when there's lots of kusala energy.
So it means that even a small amount, can we say small amount or short time of experiencing or having sati is important in the sense that eventually it leads to the deathlessness.
Like a drop of water.
That's the only way the bucket fills up.
Or the ocean.
The ocean.
Ocean, yes. This citta is bigger than the ocean with the kilesas and ignorance. It's endless. The ocean is at least limited, you know, but this citta with its accumulations, it's endless.
Gunjagrit, you have your book open, so I think you have a question there to ask. do you have any question you'd like to ask?
Also, we can say that eventually, if we just keep developing sati, patthana, eventually it will lead to deathlessness. Mean that even drop of momentary sati is
right understanding.
Usefulness.
Mm-hmm. No I.
Okay.
We don't develop anything.
Okay. No, it's a problem with English, because English is subject problem language.
Well,
you always need a subject. No. Like
English
Thai and Japanese, we do not put subject.
But I think that we're talking about the asava, the subtle idea of developing or trying to experience. It can creep in very easily.
I have accumulation like Kunjagrit and Kunchadapon. I left so much to listen. I'm so happy every time I listen.
But if everyone listens and no one asks any questions, we don't have any discussion. Right, so I think we...
But between the two, I prefer listening.
Me too. But I just, if no one has any question, then I will ask, because it's such a precious opportunity to listen to Dana.
No, I think Kunsuchin has changed. Because when you are young, you jump to questionnaires' words, and they give answers because you understood what they are asking. Now you are more patient. You listen to and help others. You know, I could see that difference. And you yourself,
very good.
In a talk that I have a bad tendency of jumping to somebody's questions. I have a question about one phrase, which is from last week Thai session, and in the afternoon session, it's like Chao
Kam Nai Wen.
I do not have any sense of what it is. In what sense ordinarily Thai use that phrase?
Yeah, because the Thai would like to have decorative word all the time. Like there are only Kam and Vera in Pali. But the Thai is think that it's not enough. They should decorate more. So they use the word Chao Kam and Nai Wen. And Chao Nai, see? And so they separate Kam and Wen by Chao Kam and Nai Wen. But actually, only the Kam itself is the master.
What is the Wen?
Vera is paya, antarai, danger, dangerous. So what is dangerous is akusla, kamma. And no one else, only the akusla kamma is the master, which can bring about the result as the boss. So Chao Nai is one word, and Kam and Vera. So the Thai separate Chao Kam as someone, but actually it's the Kam itself. It's the master, great master.
So Chao means someone?
Like Master Chao Nai. But it's not clear. I think that we better clarify that.
Okay, so it means that whenever ordinarily Thais use that phrase, there is some kind of notion that that person or they are controlled by one's own karma or past deeds.
But if they take someone as master all the time,
they think there's some
not
being
one's own karma.
Who's going to carry out the results of karma on you, karma on you? That's their general belief.
Related with that, you sometimes say that karma is like an invisible hand. And when I was here, I asked that one, and I really couldn't get the idea of that. And then I asked Kunina, and Kunina said that it's like karma is like a guiding hand. So it guides you.
I don't think it.
I thought that was an excellent explanation for me, because whenever I think karma, it's like somebody's controlling me. But Kunina said, no, it's just guiding you to a sort of a positive direction. So that Kunina is sort of trying to express that karma is not like we associate very negativity with karma. It's a negative thing. But she's saying, no, it's more neutral. Well, it could be even positive. So don't view karma in a sort of very in a negative way.
Is it kusala or akusala?
Oh, I know it's both kusala and akusala, but whenever we think, say, karma, we always think of bad things.
But I think what it means when we hear about karma as an invisible hand, when I hear about it, I just understand that we have no idea about what karma in the past will bring what results, so we have no idea what result will be next moment, because it's completely invisible, unknown. So I don't read it as anything like guiding, but just it's unknown.
I have different ideas, sorry. I think when we talk about karma, there are two types of people. One take it negatively, the other take it positively. And then most of the people take it in a negative way. And so mean that it's somehow associated with very bad feeling or ideas. My point is that, no, we just accept whatever it comes. Be positive. It does.
Because it's
Yeah. Is what I want to say.
What your hands are doing.
I accept it. I know that.
It's visible.
Yeah.
What about the invisible hands?
Yeah.
They do much. They can do much more.
Yeah. I'll fall in
the unknown.
Yeah. I'll go to hell many, many times. I accept it. That's fine. I'll do my best here.
Yeah. I think with Deepaka, we have no choice but to accept because it. Just arises, but then in relation to relative to what we're going to experience, it's good not to have a kusala.
Of course.
And when one says because of this, because of that, because of this person or that person, without hands, can they do anything? But that is the visible hand. But kamma is the invisible.
Without the invisible hand, there wouldn't be the visible hand.
No, but without visible hand, there's no invisible hand.
But whatever happens, see, who does it? See, no one, only the invisible hand.
And when we think about, I will go to hell or this or that, but actually no one to go anywhere.
And in... some might say, who takes us here, see, in this world? How come to be such, this person in this world? Who can do that? Only the kamma, the invisible hand, take you. In that sense, when one is asked, how come to this world?
The unknown kamma.
The point I wanted to make is that, we just accept whatever it comes.
I think that the point Ajahn was making on Saturday, which it's good to stress, is actually if there's no understanding of realities now as anatta, impossible to understand anything meaningful about karma, because then it's always the idea of what I did in the past and what will happen to me and where I'll be reborn. And it's so unless it's there's an understanding of namas and rupas as anatta, then no way to understand conditioned dharmas.
And that's the path, isn't it? Whether there's just that understanding.
So that's the only way to really understand more about karma and invisible hands is to understand more about namas and rupas now and the way conditions
and what karma is.
Now, what it is.
In reality.
Just Chaitanya now.
And how it functions as an invisible hand.
What happens?
Otherwise thinking about invisible hand, just thinking with...
Now, so many invisible hands are doing many happenings here and in Bangkok and anywhere in the world. No being, no visible. No invisible, only kamma acts or performs like the function of invisible hands.
Like we think we'll move back home and we'll get a job and we'll do all these things, but actually they're just different conditioned dharmas, and who knows about the invisible hand of karma. And like you often say, we don't know next moment what will arise.
Oh, yeah. What seeing will next arise.
No.
If you live in Japan, you feel that next moment there will be a big earthquake here. But never here.
You never know.
No, they've had earthquakes here. Yes.
I can't remember.
Yes, they have. I can remember being in ISB when there was an earthquake. And there was a shaking. Yeah, they've had it here.
And a tsunami.
And tsunamis.
Yeah, yeah.
You get a huge
And riots.
Riots.
And you want
coming.
You mentioned about the verse that you like, another Dhammapada verse he likes about Suttapatipala.
Oh.
Yeah. Would you what like him?
I told
no
you that. Okay. I told you that I often sort of try to I cite verses, Pali verses, and one of the, my favorite verses is like this, attaining Sotapatipala is superior to ruling one country or going to a heaven or even ruling the entire world. And then when I recite that one, I see lots of sort of desirable object, And we think in a positive manner that, well, that doesn't mean anything to me, because for me, just developing Satipatthana is far, far, far more important than grasping these sort of desirable object. But it shows how important developing of Satipatthana is. Because the Buddha actually said that it's attaining Sotapatipala is far better than, or far superior to, becoming a ruler of the entire world.
Without understanding, it's yoga. Never get away.
That's why without understanding.
Satipatthana is far more superior than becoming ruler of the entire world.
Because even if one become a ruler of this entire world, he will live probably 20 years, 30 years, that's it. 40 years at most, finished.
And what if living with Lopa and Avicca?
Just creating more karma, more invisible hands.
But even when one reads such a verse, even if one appreciates that why Satipatthana is more precious and this is so useless in comparison, but even then they can just be clinging to becoming Sotapanna or to Nibbana. So again, it's always back to the present citta and can be another yoga.
A good point.
That's why without understanding
can come in any time.
How subtle the path really is. How can the path develop unless you understand how subtle it is and how tricky kusala is.
So can we say that Thailand is very prosperous for Buddhism? Buddhism in Thailand?
Lots of...
I would say, because you're here.
Just that. But not as prosperous as many people think.
Whenever I feel come here, I always feel that Thailand is nothing without Buddhism.
Right.
In a sense, Thailand is nothing with the right understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now Bangkok is becoming very prosperous and people think that it's a very good thing. But no. Yeah.
We cannot compare with other countries at all. Only one thing, best of all, is the understanding of the teachings.
Yeah.
Only one.
Yeah.
Even prosperity, this doesn't... Like, just like being king or ruler of something, that doesn't last forever.
So
only creates more wants and desire.
What
and
did the queen say to you when you had a short conversation with her? What did she say? The queen of the Thailand? You said,
this was back in 1972 when I had a... we spent a week in Puping Palace up in Chiang Mai. And it was at that time that the oldest princess had married the American, and the queen was very, very upset with that. And I guess it was a realization in my part that, even these people who have everything materially still have lots of unhappiness. At that time I had no study of Dhamma, and I didn't know the vocabulary, but I knew... that it had nothing to do with one's material prosperity.
Yeah.
You know, that was the lesson I learned from that particular encounter back in 1972. And that it has nothing to do with one's material position or possessions and everything else. Because one thing I can see is in our world today, you know, the in a conceptual sense, is that we live in this society, all of international society, all over the world, which induces us to want more. The business mentality of wanting more and more and more and more and more and more things. I gotta have this thing. I gotta have that thing. Oh, this new thing's come out. I have to buy that thing and da da da. On and on and on and on. And yet that, and then we have even more unhappiness in modern life. Of, you know, people who basically don't know Dhamma and live in the conceptual world like most of us, you know, do. And there's more and more desires for this and that and the other thing. And it creates more and more unhappiness because it's not the realization of the clinging to the self. So, there, you know, so that was my first lesson, I guess, in that thing, long, that years ago.
Whether we're rich or poor, still clinging to sensuous objects.
That's right.
You don't know what vipaka is going to arise from one moment to the next. So one moment, kusala vipaka, next moment, akusala vipaka.
Yeah.
And then
you don't know what vipaka is now.
You don't know what vipaka is now.
Relatively good. Very good.
Absolutely.
And without understanding what's the use of kusala vipaka, it's just a condition for more clinging.
Yeah. But I'm saying, you know, it's no point.
So
you don't know what vipaka will arise next with wealth, or you don't know if it's going to be pleasant or unpleasant object.
So now one understands what is meant by Chao Kam Nai Wen in Thai.
Can you explain?
We are in the hand of Kama, invisible hand.
No person who performs Kama. We have no idea what result it will bring.
Believing in karma, the cause, and vipaka, the effect, can condition more kusala.
And when there's kusala, you're not in the hands of
the invisible?
Invisible hand.
Because you see that when we talk about jau kam nai wen, that I think just about akusala karma. They don't talk about kusala karma at all. So in the Tipitaka, it's pointed out that the vera is the violation of the five precepts in daily life. Because there are more akusala kamma, but usually one can see the violation of the five precepts. Killing, see?
Changing topic, in your talks, you often, especially to your Thai audience, you often say that labeling it, naming is not satipatthana. You need not label that, you need not say that this is aksara, this is kusala, just be mindfulness. Why is it important not to label, try to sort of name each or each reality.
Even we name the characteristic which appears as not permanent, anicchang and dukkang and anatta.
Mm.
It's not the direct understanding of what we are saying.
isn't it trying to catch the reality of that time that's already fallen away and trying
so
to be aware?
Understanding, it's ignorance and attachment. So that's why, you know.
That is not enough. Hearing more, considering more, that it's not just the words. There must be realities without words which appear. But we need the word to communicate or to express.
We need to know if there's sati now. Because people think about sati, but they're thinking about some other time. So, not sati.
Yeah, for example, many moments of seeing, and we spoke a lot about seeing, but no awareness or understanding of seeing which sees. So all the teachings will bring the vitaka, not to go astray, just to whatever appears.
So it's like speculating. Labeling is like speculating.
Mm-hmm. Or it can be like after the Saturday discussion, one of the Thai friends came up to me afterwards and said, oh, he appreciated what we had said. But he said, why didn't you talk about namas and rupas and cheetah and cheetah seekers when talking, trying to explain about karma and the dharmas to Paul? And I said, well, this is someone who's not familiar with any of these terms, and we're just trying to help people to understand about realities, not just cling to certain names and labels. So if we're talking together, we all know what namas and rupas are, so we use these terms for convenience. But the point is to understand the realities, not just get stuck on various terms and labels.
The thing that can understand the meaning of nama, but not the characteristic of nama.
Mm.
So what's the use? Just give them the names.
Mm. You think they can understand nama,
understanding
but not seeing.
Of reality at all.
I think there is always some kind of tension between sort of learning a lot and not learning so much, yeah? And those who do not have much aptitude, not much sort of inclination in learning a lot, yeah? They think that, oh, it's okay, just be mindfulness and need not to learn so much or memorize so many phrases, yeah? Then the other side is that, if we learn a lot, then that will condition reality. So just learn as much as we can and name each sort of experiences as it is. Yeah. So somehow Kunshi is saying, as far as I understand, Kunshi is saying that learning is not good. But when there is awareness, it's just awareness. Let's awareness or panya do it work.
Well, I would say, the important thing is to understand what appears now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, whether
matter
your inclinations.
What the accumulations
yeah.
Are, yeah.
Yeah.
People have different habits or tendencies, like some don't like to read and others like to read a lot, but it doesn't matter because it's just about understanding realities.